Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit, and some translations might have fruit of the light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all these things are exposed and are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Father, we thank you this morning that you are light. And Father, you're well aware that we live in a world that is growing darker each day. And Father, we realize again that we are small lights, that we are reflecting your light to those around us. And it is my prayer this morning that we'll let our light shine in Bemidji and wherever you place us, Lord. Let our light shine for you, that they may see our good works and glorify you in heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned to you, that one of the most common themes in the Bible is light versus darkness. It's in the New Testament, it's in the Old Testament. And obviously, God is light. You know what the other side is. You know what darkness is. In the Scriptures, it's described as the world. It's described as Satan. He is the king. His kingdom is one of darkness. And what we're talking about is spiritual darkness. And the beautiful thing about all of this is that when we come to know Christ, we're rescued from the dominion of the darkness, and we're transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus, and now we're children of the light. We no longer have to be in darkness. We can be in the light, and we can walk in the light. And I want to explain to you a little bit about what that is. But first of all, I want you to know that we have so many passages, especially in John's Gospel and in the other epistles of John, on this subject. If you really want to look at light and darkness, read the Gospel of John and read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 1st John. 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John, towards the end of the Bible. This is the message that we have heard from him. And proclaim to you that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Jesus said, as he was speaking to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, he will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John 12, 46, it says, I've come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And then we find these words in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. Remember that song we used to sing as children, This Little Light of Mine? You know, children have so many simple songs that bring out some very profound truths. And this is one of them. Don't hide it under a bushel. No. Let your light shine. Don't let Satan get out. Let it shine. Shine all over the world. And you realize that as a Christian, sometimes you're shining and maybe sometimes you're not shining as much as you should. So this morning, I want to look at the context that I just read to you and see how we can shine more brightly for the Lord. And the Apostle Paul gives us some insights in how we can shine brightly for the Lord. He says, first of all, in verse 8, for you were once darkness. We were in the dark, spiritual darkness, until our eyes were opened, until we saw Christ and our need of Christ. And when we placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, again, we were brought into the glorious kingdom of light. Do you know that Satan has blinded the eyes of so many people in this world? He does not want them to see the glorious light of the gospel as we read through the Word of God. Satan has blinded their eyes to the truth and to the light of the gospel, because the gospel transfers us from the kingdom of darkness, the domain of darkness, into the kingdom of Christ. And the gospel is so simple and so true that whoever believes in him can be transferred from that darkness into the light. And I trust this morning that you have made that transfer, that you're no longer walking in the dark. Have you been transferred into the kingdom of light? You can answer me. Because if I see someone going like this, then I want to talk to you. Because God wants you from dark, he wants you from that kingdom to come into the light and to know who he is. And so the first insight that we get is because we are his children that we want to walk in the light. And this is in the imperative mood, which means we're commanded to walk in the light. This is not an option for a believer. You can't come to know Christ and then say, well, I'm going to stay in the kingdom of darkness because you no longer belong there. You are not there. You're in the kingdom of light. And you don't want to walk in darkness anymore. Are you aware today that there can be a temporary darkness that comes upon a Christian? That they actually can walk in the kingdom of darkness again? Or they can walk like they're in the kingdom of darkness? But that's not who we are anymore. And Paul is exhorting the Ephesians to walk in the light, as God is in the light. There was great darkness at Ephesus. You ask, what kind of darkness? Well, if you want to go to Acts chapter 19, you can read about that darkness. There was demonic possession going on at Ephesus. They also had these Jewish exorcists who were going around and exorcising spirits. There was also this huge library at Ephesus that contained all kinds of books of magic and of the occult. They also had a goddess there called Diana, which was very pagan religion, and it had to do with fertility, so it involved sexual immorality. So Ephesus was a very bad, dark place. Paul went there and preached the gospel, and there were those citizens of Ephesus who came to faith in Christ, and now he's commanding them, because they belong to the kingdom of light, to live as their children of the kingdom of light. And what do children do? It goes on in verse 9 to say this. For the fruit of the Spirit is all in all goodness. We should do good. We don't do good because we want to be saved. We do good because we are saved. Do you realize that after every passage in the scripture that talks about grace, works follow? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God saves us for good works. And when Christians are not good, this world's in trouble. Because our God is good all the time, and he wants us to do good. It says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul again commanding the Galatians to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Have you been practicing that here? The household of faith? Have you been doing good to one another in this congregation? I believe you have, and we want to continue to do that. Goodness. We also find a word here. Righteousness, which means doing the right thing. Christians need to do what's right. You know, it troubles my soul and heart that we live in a culture today that's so relative. It's whatever you feel or think is right or wrong. Do you realize the Bible gives us some absolutes about what is right and wrong? And it's truth. And unfortunately today, people are ignoring God's word. How do you know what's right? How do you know what's wrong without our moral guide that God has given us in the scriptures? And then the last word that he uses here is the word truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And as we get to verse 10, the importance of God's word in all of this process. How do we know and how do we understand how we should walk unless we have God's word? In the second service, we're going to be acknowledging the graduates. And I want to place in their hands, well, they're going to receive a Bible from our church. And it's going to be probably one Bible to several Bibles. I would estimate that most of you, if you went home and counted the number of Bibles you have, you probably have at least 3 or 4 or 5 Bibles in your home. Isn't that correct? Some more? You know how many Bibles I have in my office? Over 30. Different translations. Okay, I have 30-some Bibles. I mean, I have Hebrew Bibles, Greek Bibles, Aramaic, I mean, Syrian. I mean, you can't believe how many translations there are of the Bible. I have a lot of those translations. And do you understand today that even though most people have more than three or four Bibles at home, that a lot of folks aren't opening up their Bible? And they're not looking at truth? They're not looking at righteousness? They're not looking at goodness because they're not in the Word of God. The Bible says God's Word is light. Psalm 119:105. Thy word, your word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It says in the verses right above that, how can a young man keep his way pure? It's according to God's word. And so it's so important that we challenge each other to get into the Word of God and we discover the truth of God's word. Most of you are familiar with these verses, and these are verses that I've memorized, and I know that many of you have. If you've been in an Awana program, these are the core of the Awana program. And it's so important that we instill these words into the hearts of young children, because children are able to learn sometimes better than we can as older adults. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, or training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It says man, but it's women. You're included in that. All right? It's men and women. Everyone can be equipped to do the work of God. We have another passage, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given to us the Scriptures. It wasn't man's idea. And I've heard this so often as a pastor. Well, pastor, men have written that book. And I say, no, men were inspired by God. They were led by the Holy Spirit as they recorded the Word of God. So if you want to know what God is saying, you pick up the Word. And if you want to hear God speak out loud, then read it out loud. Because that's God's word. And he's speaking to you and telling you and me what we need to do as children of the light and as we walk in the light. There's another passage that's dear to my heart in Hebrews 4:12 that says this, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's how powerful God's word is. And that's how God's word will work in our lives as it searches through our souls. God has given us his precious word. And I want those graduates, and I want you to know that every time you pick up this book, you're reading the word of God. And you're having an encounter with the living God. Do you know why this word is living in and powerful? Because our God is living and he's powerful. Our God is not dead. Our God is alive. Our God is living and his word is living. And so every time you open up the word, God is going to speak to you clearly through what is written down for you. It says, finding out what is acceptable or pleasing to the Lord. And the only way you can find that out is through his word, his revelation that he's given to us. What was that? Is that an alarm going off? Is that a fire alarm? No. Okay. I don't want you all to burn here this morning. I thought maybe I'd been preaching so hot and heavy that I set off the fire alarm. Not really. Now, we have another insight into all of this. We have, because we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom light, walk as children. We want to dig into God's word to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. And then the last one is, don't participate in the evil works of darkness. Look at verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. This word fellowship has this idea of participating in darkness. It grieves my heart when I see Christians sometimes say, well, I can still go over to the dark side. And I ask them, why do you want to go over there? I used to live there permanently till I was transferred into the kingdom of light. I don't want to go back into darkness because there's pain, there's destruction in the kingdom of darkness. And unfortunately, some don't grab a hold of that. They still want to have fellowship with darkness. The Word of God says over and over again that light and darkness don't have anything in common, that you belong in the kingdom of light, therefore don't participate in the kingdom of darkness. And this is what we call sanctification, being separated unto the Lord. We want to separate ourselves to the Lord and do what the Lord wants us to do. It doesn't mean we're separating ourselves from the world totally, because we're still living in this world. But you guys know that there are some things that are potentially dangerous for you if you were to fellowship with them. Let me give you an example of this. When I first became a follower of Christ, I had a friend that kept telling me, well, Stan, you know, you can be a Christian and you can still do this. And I thought to myself, well, you know, that wasn't maybe the best thing to do. Yeah, but you know, it's grace. God will forgive us. You don't have to worry about it. He's loving, he's forgiving. And I go, well, I know that. But I know that when I was doing that, before I gave my life to Christ, it was painful. And he tried to, he said, why don't you do this? And I said, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. He said, what's wrong with you? You think you're holier than me now? I said, no, I'm not. I just don't want to go there anymore. I don't want to do that anymore because I've been brought into the kingdom of light. And now I want to walk as a child of the kingdom of light. You know, it's a sad day today that so many people are thinking, well, I can be a Christian and do whatever I want. God has saved us from those things that hurt us. Are you aware of that? Does sin hurt? Boy, it hurts. And when God says not to do something, I've learned in my relationship with him, he's always right. And I'm seldom right. He's always right because his word is true. And I don't want to go back. I want to go forward, and I want to walk in the light of the glorious gospel and truth of God's word. How about you? And how about letting your light shine? Let it shine, people. Our God is a gracious God, and people need to see that. People need to see that God has a way for us. God has a much better life for us than we could ever imagine. Because the world is out there always trying to influence everyone to come back into the darkness. You know, the first thing that hit me when I became a follower of Christ was, why are bars always dark? I thought, well, I think I know why. It's a cover for their sin. A lot of times in bars, people, as they get drunk, they say things and they do things that they shouldn't. And the darker, the better. Wouldn't it be great if you walked into a bar and it had bright lights? People would say, you know, I don't feel very comfortable in here. And then you could use the illustration. Well, God is light. In him, there's no darkness. Let the light shine and reveal to us and expose those things that we need to deal with. Amen? So I want to encourage you to let your light shine this morning and let it shine all over Bemidji. Let it shine at home. Let it shine. Let it shine for the glory of Christ. Amen? Father, we thank you this morning that you've given to us light, and you are the light, and you put that light in us. And Father, we're thankful that we can shine for you. And Lord, what a blessing it is to shine in such a dark place, in such a dark world as we see it today. So Lord, help us as a church to continue to shine, especially as we think of Vacation Bible School coming up. Lord, let our light shine before these children that they may see Christ and come to know him as their Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and close.